Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's talk to the Diddy. Ray Dittinger has seen it all in Philadelphia sports, although I can't imagine he's ever seen a better team in Philly sports history that specializes in the ugly win, and the Diddy joins us right now. Ray Diddy, how are you, sir?
I'm doing fine, Joe, and you're right. It was ugly, but I'll take an ugly win over an ugly loss.
I agree.
I've certainly seen my share of those, too.
Or a moral defeat. Or what's it called? A moral
victory.
Moral victory, yeah. The moral victory is annoying at times. All right,
moral defeat.
Yeah, moral defeat. I don't know what that would be. So, Ray, what's your biggest takeaway? We're going to get into the AJ thing. There's a lot there. But what is your biggest takeaway from the game itself?
Well, I mean, if you want to go glass half full, you start with the fact that they won. And you start with the fact that they're 4-0. You know, we were asking a lot of the same kinds of questions 4 weeks into last season. But we were sitting at 2-2 then. You got some of the same issues now, but now you're 4-0. I mean, yeah. You found a way to win those games now, which you didn't do last year.
Sure.
You found a way to win in Tampa, which you certainly didn't do last year. So if you want to do the line down the middle of the column and the pluses on one side, that's the plus side. The other side is just the crazy swings with this team that we've seen. You know, I mean, that this is 2 weeks in a row now that it's like you played two different games in one day. You know, the Rams game, you didn't show up until the second half, and then the second half you're unstoppable. Yesterday, you come out, and offensively, you're watching us and saying, damn, they're running some pretty good stuff here. You know, you thought that they're really kind of coming into their own. They were creating some things, running some things we hadn't seen before effectively, really dominating the game. And then in the second half, just completely goes away. And
in the second half, your
offense just disappeared.
So what explains it, Ray?
I don't know if there's a logical explanation. I really don't. I think, well, the one thing you can logically explain is the fact that the defense just got tired in the second half, which I fully understand. The offense was never on the field. The offense was 3 and out, what, 5 times out of like 7 possessions. They had one possession that lasted 12 seconds.
Oh.
And so on a day when it's 100 degrees and 95% humidity, the defense was on the field the whole second half. So in the second half, you say, well, the tackling was poor and the defense looked – well, I can kind of understand that.
Totally.
They were just tired.
Now, that part makes sense, but how does the offense go from
– Yeah, the offense is the one that you really have to sit down and look at the film and figure out where did it go. Because it started so well, and then it just disappeared in the second half. I don't know. But, now, you're 4-0. You're one of only two undefeated teams in the league. It's you and Buffalo. Statistically, you're sitting in a pretty good spot. But you can't – this part is not sustainable. That A.J. Brown, 2 catches for 7 yards. Saquon Barkley averaging under 3 yards a carry. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that it's very nice to say they keep finding ways to win, but those are your key guys. If the end game here is to try and get back and win another Super Bowl, you can't do it getting that little production from those players.
Finding ways to win. That's interesting. I was always told when I was a rookie starting, I was always reminded, hey, for every rookie that you start, you lose a game. Like that, this is like some old adage that I supposedly knew, but I was reminded every week. Yesterday we had Makuba making, I don't even know what he was looking at, a mistake that cost us a touchdown, the long one to Abuka. And we had a Jihad Campbell, you know, in coverage. I don't know if you'd say that's a mistake or not.
It's he also a long time to have to cover.
Really
I mean, the
hard
line,
to really, really tough ask there. But are the what do you make of that? Two young guys out there, two big plays. Mm-hmm. Was that youth? Was that correctable? Is that all right? Recoverable, that sort of thing?
Correctable for sure. I mean, you're talking about two quality players, you know, your first and second round draft choice, guys who you know have the ability, who were just kind of figuring it out. I mean, Campbell, you're right about the one coverage. I think that's just a tough assignment for him to ask him to do that. But at the end of the game,
it was a flat route, and then it was a scramble drill where Bucky Irving said, you know what? I'm gone. Try to stay with me. And that's, I don't know. I mean, I know Jihad Campbell can run a 4.3 supposedly.
Right.
But that's still, it's hard to anticipate.
It's a very hard play. But to his credit, then late in the game, he comes up with a huge interception in the end zone, which kills a drive, which actually helps save the day.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I look at those two guys, and I have very little doubt that they're going to be really good players. And right now, they're still just trying to figure it out. The fact that Campbell was able to shake off that one play and come back and make a really big play in the fourth quarter, I think is indication of the kind of player that he is and that he's going to be. The more that those two guys play, the better they're going to get. I have no long-term doubts about them. But some of the other stuff to me is really concerning. I mean, it really is. I mean, we've always just sort of accepted as a fact of life that the Eagles' offensive line is great. And it's the best offensive line in football, and they're going to dominate the line of scrimmage every time they line up. I don't know if that's so true right now. I know you've got some injury issues, but right now, a lot of what's happening on offense, to me, goes back to the offensive line and to some degree the play calling. But I think that this team is not dominating at the line of scrimmage the way it has in the past.
Can you tell who's struggling the most?
Well, compared to what you've seen them do in the past, I think Dickerson. But I understand it because I think he's playing with some significant injuries. He's trying to play through it. You know, Lane Johnson now 2 weeks in a row has been out. And when you lose him, you lose a lot. Steen was actually playing pretty well, and then you lost him yesterday. I mean, last year, one of the things that really helped this team once they came out of the 2-2 and got it rolling was that they had real continuity in the offensive line. I mean, they had the five starters played every game, and they just got better and better and better towards the end, where they were just dominating everybody. Mm. Not true now. And the one question that everybody seems to be asking, which I understand looking at the numbers, is there something wrong with Barkley? You know, is there something? I mean, some people offered the cautionary view that, you know, running backs historically, you go back through history, that have a year like he had last year, they aren't the same player next year. That you just don't come back from that right away. So everybody's kind of looking for that. Honestly, Joe, I don't see it. I don't see that he's lost a step. I don't see that he's running any differently. I mean, the production. I mean, last year he was averaging 6 yards a carry. Now he's averaging less than half of that. So clearly something's
at
work.
Let's look at yards before contact. Let's look at that stat. I don't even know what that stat is this year compared to last year.
I love how John says, let's look at it, but I don't know it. I get your point, though, John. Clearly, it hasn't been the same.
Let's conceptualize that. It is very clear that he is not.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
there's nowhere close to the same distance between him and defenders when he gets the ball.
Very obvious.
Oh, absolutely. And one of the things that that I was thinking, and it's just my armchair coaching thing, but this was particularly true through the Rams game, was, man, I know this coaching staff loves the 12 and 13 personnel. I know they love double tight ends. I know they love three tight ends. They love to do that. But to me, if you go with that formation heavy a lot, which they like to do, you tighten up your own formation by definition. It's tight ends. And I think that makes it, if a defense wants to attack the line of scrimmage and shut down the running lanes, I actually think if you go multiple tight ends, you kind of help them do that because you're bringing everybody together. I would like to see maybe less of that and more three wides and spread the field a little bit and create a little bit more room. You know, maybe that would help you get out of the log jam. But when you go double tight end or three tight ends, you're kind of bunching up the formation, and I think you're making it easier for teams to play the interior.
All right, Ray, so there's a whole nother wing to examine from yesterday. By the way, it's 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia as we broadcast today from the Tasty Cake Studio. This is a treat with Ray in studio. Normally Ray's over the phone with us, but in studio today. Seth Joyner from 9 to 10 and phone calls throughout the show. So Ray, let's get to what is, I believe, going to be the dominant topic, at least for the next couple of days, until the Phillies really sort of resurface at the end of the week before their playoff game on Saturday. So, and by the way, we're going to have Rob Thompson on the show on Wednesday. Let me say that right now. Rob Thompson will be on the show Wednesday at this time. 8 o'clock Wednesday for Rob Thompson. We look forward to that. Nick Sirianni likely tomorrow at 8:40. We look forward to that. All right, Ray. A.J. Brown, after the game. It's about 2.5 hours after the game. And he posts the following on social media. I'm curious your reaction and how big you think the ramifications will be moving forward. He says, if you're not welcomed, not listened to, quietly withdraw. Don't make a scene. Shrug your shoulders and be on your way. What is the Ray Didinger interpretation of what AJ did and what it means?
Oh, I don't know. I think I would interpret that. Look, I'm sure he's not happy. You know, I'm sure he's not happy now. I kind of thought or hoped that the second half of last week's game against the Rams was kind of okay. It's coming out party. Okay, he's a receiver who can take over a game.
He's a receiver that could catch 120 passes in a different offense.
Absolutely.
He could be right there with CeeDee Lamb and Chase, and he could have the 120 to 130. He could annually.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So he comes off that game, 6 catches, well over 100 yards, makes big plays that helps you come back and win. You think that's kind of a breakthrough for him and the offense. Then you come out yesterday, and he's a non-factor. And listen, it's not for a lack of trying to get him the ball. They targeted him 9 times, 2 catches. So there's something amiss there. There's no question about that. And he can't possibly be happy about that.
His targets over the last 3 games, there were 10, there were 9, there were 8.
Yeah.
It's not for a lack of trying, but why? What's the problem with the tries, Ray? You know, why is it that it seems like he's covered every time we're trying? Is that on him? Is that on Kevin Petullo for not giving him more help getting open downfield? What's the issue?
I don't know. I mean, that's one of the things I kind of want to look at. I kind of have to go back and log where he lined up, how much they move him around. Mm-hmm. That's got to be part of it. Because, you know, when defenses are coming into games to play the Eagles, they start with a couple of things. They start with the idea they can't let Barkley run for 150 yards. That's number one. We can't
And they sure have mastered that part
they've figured out. The other part of it is we can't let A.J. Brown dominate the passing game. And the other part is we can't let Hurts hurt us with big plays running the ball. And so far, teams have been able to neutralize that to a large degree, with the exception of the second half of the Rams game. When you went hurry up, when you went tempo, and you got into a rhythm, I understand some people were saying, well, why didn't they go hurry up yesterday? I think partly you don't want to go hurry up yesterday when it's 180 degrees.
Well, and you have a big lead. I mean, that's another thing.
Yeah,
but it's so exhausting. It just, first of all, hurry up, even when you're in great shape. Even when you're in great shape, it's so taxing, especially for those guys on the outside. Think of what you're asking your wide receivers to do. You know, they're running full speed, I don't know, 30 yards downfield, then sprinting back because you got to get back to the line of scrimmage. And it's fast, fast, fast. It's the hurry up. Doing it in those conditions, I think, is just asking too much.
Yeah, and I understood that. I mean, yes. I heard some people say, well, they should go hurry up here. Look at how good it worked last week. Well, every week's different. And yeah. And if you want to run hurry up in Tampa Bay for four quarters, I don't think so.
That would just be so much to ask.
But one of the things that, and this is one of the things they have to figure out, is one of the reasons they have to get the running game going, just because they want to be a running team. I think that's the way they're built. That's what they have to do to win. But you have a game like yesterday where you are fully in command at halftime. That's when you just come out in the second half, you just lean on your running game. You just run the ball. You just eat up clock. You just control everything. And when you can't do that, when you can't count on that, having that ability that we got the big lead, we're just going to run it second half and control it, not turn the ball over, we're going to control the clock. That's the formula for winning. But right now, the running game is the state that the running game's in. You can't lean on that.
Well, I'll go as far as to say this. When it's not Jalen running the ball or the occasional backup running back that pops 10 yards, they're a bad running team right now. Now, it doesn't mean they will be the rest of the season, but to this point, four games in, they're a bad running team. And that's shocking.
Yeah, I thought that one of the things that I found really head-scratching about yesterday's game was that in the first half, one of the things I thought was there was a certain amount of, to me, predictability about the offense by formation, that they kind of are telling you what they want to do. I thought that was very true through three games. One of the things I found really encouraging yesterday was in the first half, the offense was real different. I mean, they showed you some things they hadn't shown before and had real success doing it. Off the tush push and other things, formation-wise, motion-wise, okay, that's different. I get it. And at the end of the half, you're saying, man, I think they kind of figured it out here. They had some issues, but I think they got it figured out. And then in the second half, it just goes away. And it almost cost you the game.
Sure did. All right, so I want to get to some audio post-game. Ray, you were on the Comcast post-game show for years, now NBC Sports Philadelphia. Got some audio of Jason Avant and Jaws after the game talking about A.J. Brown. Curious your reaction, their assessment of what's going on with A.J. There's a lot in here. Listen to this. We'll get Ray's opinion.
I have to say this about A.J. Brown. I have to say this about it, is that A.J. Brown is being played like a receiver that can't run anymore. The secondary is looking at A.J. Brown like a guy that is reluctant to go by them, and that's what's happening. They're sitting on routes. Yeah. So that's something that A.J. Brown has to look in the mirror and say, what am I doing in order to get this type of coverage? But they're playing him like his name is Jason Avant out there running go routes. You can't do that, right? So I think A.J. Brown has to do a little bit better when it comes to coming off the ball every single time. That third down late in the game, the last time they had the ball, or, you know, significant had the ball, it was an out route. First of all, he oversplit, meaning he split too wide, and it was an out route against zero coverage, and then he quit on a route. So you can't do those things, and that's something that if A.J. Brown wants the ball, you have to run the routes the right way and also come off the ball so guys don't sit.
But he still has it in him to do it the way he's always done.
I don't know that. I think that's what Jason's saying. Maybe he does that because the go routes, you got to go to get the box for the quarterback. In other words, when you get it out of your stance, you don't get to that sideline. You got to take it upfield so the quarterback can take you away from where that defender is. The balls he was throwing deep, he was right in the sideline. There was no window for Jalen Hurts to stick that ball into, no box to throw into, and the balls are out of bounds. There wasn't an area, some air under where he could throw the football.
Well, see, listen, I'm just saying how the defense is playing him.
Right.
Right? Whether A.J. Brown can do it or not, the defense is saying that you can't run by me. And that's the way they're playing. Well, they're playing him like that.
All right, again, that audio courtesy of NBC Sports Philadelphia. So, Ray, if A.J. was already in a bad mood, and he was, now this week he's going to deal with not one but two notable former Eagles questioning a few elements of his game. One, how truly great he is anymore. Two, whether he's trying his hardest. But to be fair, Avant, I think, is also alluding to he's running the routes that the coaches are drawing up, and maybe defenders are defending him the way they are because they know he's not going to go elsewhere because there's predictability to the offense. What is your assessment of what you just heard and as it relates to what you saw?
Yeah. It's interesting observations. I I mean, this is the same guy we saw take over the game a week ago.
I think it's totally in there, right? Totally in there. Yeah. I don't think A.J. Brown just fell off a cliff as an incredible athlete.
Yeah. Like, he didn't all of a sudden get old and feeble on Wednesday.
Not at all.
You know, I mean, that's – so there's something else that's wrong here. I remember listening to Jaws and Jason there, it took me back to a time that I got in trouble for saying something very similar about Irving Fryer in the later stages of his career, because I'm looking at his production and I'm looking at how defenses are playing him, and it's a whole lot different than the way they were playing him before. And what the defense was telling you was, I don't think he can beat me, and I'm just going to play him the way I want to play him because he can't run by me. And to me, it was real obvious. And I said it on the air, and Irving Fryer got incredibly pissed off at me and called me at work and reamed me out and said, you don't know what you're talking about. But the fact of the matter was, it was true, because sometimes the defense does tell you the state of the guy they're playing.
But there are other reasons why a defense could be playing in this way. There could not be time for a double move. You know, like if you've got a DB playing off, and right, just like what we were talking about, third and 10, he's playing at 10, and he knows that you're not going to try to run by him because your offensive line has two guards who are struggling. One's a replacement. You've got a replacement right tackle as well. And you know that your D-line, you don't even have to blitz. Their stunts are getting home. You know, it's just, it doesn't make any sense to cover any farther than what's directly in front of you, because there just won't be time.
Well, again, this comes back to predictability and the possibility the Eagles' offense is just too predictable. Yes. Ray, if you had to guess, do you think AJ is more frustrated with the coaches or Jalen Hurts?
Oh, the coaches.
I agree with you.
I like the coaches. Yeah. I don't think there's any question about that.
Yeah.
And I understand it. Look, when you have a player like that, there's always a way to figure out what the defense is doing and still maximize his ability, which is, anybody that saw the Rams game, you know that this guy's capable of doing. If the defense is going to give you 10 yards, take 10 yards. I mean, it doesn't have to be. AJ could make the deep play, but he was never Tariq Hill. I mean, his game was taking those balls, breaking a tackle, and turning an 8-yard throw into a 28-yard gain. He can still do that. And it's up for the coaches from week to week to look at the opponent, how they play, what my guys are, and how do I maximize their ability. And it's still there. I just think right now, and boy, this is really the only time this year so far through four games where you could say this offense demonstrated a rhythm to what they were doing is the second half of the Rams game. At the beginning of yesterday's game, it seemed to carry over, and you thought, wow, I think they've kind of figured it out. And then in the second half, it just went away. And I know at 4-0, I give them credit, man. Nobody else in the NFC is there. But they have to figure this out going forward. They have to figure this out. If the idea is to go back to the Super Bowl and win it, you're not going to do it with Saquon Barkley averaging 2 yards a carry and A.J. Brown catching two balls a game. You're just not.
Well, and I'll add this, particularly when you consider last year they were winning ugly often and did win the Super Bowl. It can occur. But the prior year, they were winning ugly often and had an all-time collapse.
Absolutely right.
Like, last year isn't the only template we have in our back pocket as fans to know in the last 2 years what can occur.
Oh, sure.
I mean, 2 years ago, it was, wow, that was a strange win. That was a strange win. That was a strange win.
Right.
And it caught up with them.
It was, and I remember the three of us had that conversation right after the Buffalo game that got them to 10-1. I mean, you looked at that Buffalo game. Buffalo had the ball for like 48 minutes. I mean, statistically, Buffalo owned that game. And somehow the Eagles came back, won the game, got to 10-1.
Yep.
And all you heard was, this team finds a way to win. This team refuses to lose. And I remember saying to you guys, I said, fellas, 10-1, that's a great achievement. I said, but this is not sustainable. And if they don't play better next week, the San Francisco 49ers are going to run this team out of the stadium.
Mm.
Well, it turned out that's what happened.
They did.
And then they never recovered from that.
Correct.
And now I don't know if we're standing on the edge of the same kind of precipice right now, but I think if the coaches have a lot of work to do. Yep. They have to figure out. I think Vic knows what he wants to do in defense. I think the defense is going to be fine. But I think the offensive staff has to really sit down and look at where they are and figure out ways to play 60 minutes of football instead of 30.
Ray, can you hang out for a few more minutes with us?
Sure.
Take some calls. Some extended time with the Diddy. Let's go to the phones. Mike right now. Mike, good morning.
Good morning, all. 4-0. Yay.
Yes, indeed, Mike.
No, it's more than a sarcastic yay, Mike. It's an achievement. And let me say this.
It is an achievement.
James brought this up earlier, and it's worth repeating. They just got through in the first half of the season the tough part of the first half of the season scheduling-wise.
Look at the next four games.
Yeah.
They are a little bit of a reprieve.
I mean, they could.
I'm not saying they're easy.
No, but I mean,
it is a notch down from the level of competition for the first month.
They certainly could get to 8-0. I mean, I would actually tell you they're probably more likely to be 8-0 than not. So there's still a lot of excellence here and that they can build upon. But it is strange the way, again, I'll just say, as I said earlier, I've never seen an elite team win uglier more consistently. It's really astounding.
Yeah, I mean, look, it is a massive achievement. I think every single person would have loved to just seen them come out 4-0, you know, by hook or crook, no matter how. 4-0 is 4-0. But I'm also looking ahead like where Ray is, and I think Ray nailed it. Because, Joe, if you remember, we said at the very beginning of the season, what was our biggest concern? The offensive line. And here we are, the offensive line.
Not for me, it wasn't. It was the corner. It was the other corner and the other safety. Wasn't the offensive line for me at all. Now, listen, maybe I should have been more aware of the Dickerson injury can affect them early in the year. You know, maybe I should have dwelled more on that. Listen, I'm very encouraged by the fact, unless the injuries linger, that Ray thinks the biggest thing up there, if I interpret, Ray, what you said, is Dickerson's banged up and Lane's banged up.
For sure.
So if you get that right, you can get very much back on track there.
Joe.
But sometimes those injuries do linger and you don't get back on track.
Right.
Yeah.
Joe.
Yes, Mike.
How do injuries get healed? By rest. Unless we're going to rest these guys, they're not going to get better. It's just going to continue because you're going to be battling.
Not always. Sometimes.
Joe, I mean, what kind of injury? We're talking like with Landon with his knee. His job is to be pushing people around, and he's got a bad knee.
Listen, Mike, let me tell you something. I can't, and Mike, good call, bud. I can't tell you that it might not be a good idea to sit those two guys next week. Might be. I mean, I don't know. You play the Denver Broncos. Chances are you probably beat them. But you play with fire if you don't have those guys. I mean, Ray, would you, based on what you've seen, would you consider saying, hey, Landon Dickerson, 14 days from now is your next game. Don't need you next week. Is that on the table for you to consider?
It's a tough evaluation.
Thursday night game coming up after the Broncos game, too, is another factor you could consider.
Gotcha.
Think about what you're risking. You're putting.
You're risking losing a game.
Jalen Hurts? No, you're risking Jalen Hurts.
You're not wrong.
I don't want to deprive him of his A-gap protection.
I understand. I won't know which is the right answer because, I mean, I'm not inside Dickerson's body and I'm not a doctor. I'm just saying, clearly, he's not right. I mean, that's pretty obvious, and clearly Lane's not right.
Right.
I mean, Lane's in and out and in and out. And I mean, it's almost got a Jason Peters like thing right now.
I agree, but I mean
you're right. I mean, seriously, I hate to say that, but
hasn't happened 25 times. It's only happened twice.
We have not been able to depend on Lane these last two games for I don't know. It feels like the majority of the game.
Look, he's injured. He's injured.
He's banged up, and it might be the same injury that is exacerbated, which makes it even scarier. Like, man, this could really be a problem.
Could
be. If it's keeping him out of games like this.
Yeah, I know. I think that I will say this. I have to give them their due. I mean, at the beginning of the season, when I saw the schedule, I would have bet, and I'm not a betting man, but I would have bet that they would have lost one of the first four games.
Totally agree.
I expected us to lose this game.
Yeah, I didn't think they'd be 4-0, but the fact is they are, and they've achieved it somehow.
Yeah.
But
and that is an achievement.
No question. And what are they, 20 of the last 21s?
Yeah.
I mean, that just doesn't happen in the National Football League. It just doesn't happen, and they have accomplished all of that. And so, you know, when we sit here and we're critical of this and we're critical of that, I think people sometimes get angry and say, well, why don't you look at what they've done? And I'm not trying to take anything away from anything they've accomplished, because they've accomplished what very few teams in football have ever accomplished, and no Eagles team in history has ever accomplished. So I give them full credit for that. But if you look at the way these games are teetering back and forth, yeah. and there's these crazy shifts just within the game, you understand as a football person that coaches have to look at this and say, no, this isn't good. Yeah. We have to figure this out, because teams like that don't win championships. If your idea is to win a championship, then you have to clean that part up. Teams generally win championships by being really consistent. And one area where the Eagles have been really consistent, and it's helped them tremendously, is they're not turning the ball over. And they are really good inside the red zone. I mean, that's really kind of how you win the game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yesterday, you score every time you're in the red zone. You shut them out every time they're in the red zone. The Eagles
are
kind of the Eagles are kind of winning in the margins. Is no. what the mm-hmm. Bill Parcells' expression, mm-hmm. winning in the margins, and that's kind of what they're doing.
All right, Ray. Before we get you out of here, let's get you on the Phils. So, by the way, James, on the Mets losing, I mean, how beautiful is that?
Oh, it's the best. I woke up this morning with a smile on my face because of the Mets losing.
And Ray, don't you love that the Phillies could be playing the Reds in 5 days?
That's amazing.
Right?
I mean,
maybe.
Oh, well, there's a possibility. You know, listen.
Heck yeah.
You get past the Dodgers starters, that bullpen, their bullpens yeah. are train wrecks.
And look, it's a best of three. I mean, yeah. the Dodgers could face the worst team in baseball and lose a best of three. It happens all the time in baseball.
And also, don't forget, coupled with the Cowboys and the Packers tying at 40. I mean, I said to myself, you know what? Because I was annoyed at the Eagles game, yeah. but I went, the Mets and the Cowboys, that's a pretty good day
yeah,
yesterday.
It is.
And especially because the Mets had a chance. Yeah. Like, if they had just chance. Won the game, they would have been in the playoffs. It makes it that much sweeter.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so Ray, your outlook. This is now the fourth crack for this group, essentially. No Wheeler. Your outlook for the Phillies as they embark on postseason opportunity number four.
I'm cautiously optimistic. I'm not overly optimistic, but cautiously optimistic. What always worries me about this Phillies team is their propensity to just go cold offensively, to just shut down offensively. And that can happen anytime. But I think the addition they made of Duran has really changed the equation here. I mean, before, if you have an offense that can be in and out and you combine it with an uncertain bullpen, that's not a formula for postseason success. But I think this guy gives you a weapon now that you didn't have before. I thought it was a great acquisition. And if you look back over Philly's history, they've only won two World Series. And the two teams that won were very different in the way they were built. I mean, just the simple difference between the 80 team that had Pete Rose at first base and the 08 team that had Ryan Howard. Right. I mean, you talk about two different players.
Yeah.
But that kind of reflects the difference in the teams. But the one thing that those two teams had in common was they had an absolute lockdown guy for the ninth inning. You know, the 80 team had Tug, who was on probably the best run of his career. And then the 08 team had Lidge, who was perfect.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the one thing that both teams had. And now they have a guy who's capable of that same kind of dominance, which in the postseason, that's what you have to have, especially the way baseball is played right now. So
he's capable of that sort of dominance.
Yeah.
Let's hope he, you know, it's more than the flash and the, you know, the.
Oh, it's more than the light show.
Yeah.
I mean, there aren't many guys who can throw like he can.
Not at all. But I wonder if the fact that he throws so many strikes works against him sometimes, because he is so in the zone. You know, I just don't understand how sometimes guys hit him and guys hit him out of the park.
Well, as Ben Davis said, he thinks his off speed is not off speed enough. He thinks it's too hard. Ben actually said something interesting to us last week, Ray. He thinks that he doesn't vary up his fastball and off-speed stuff enough, and so that hitters aren't thrown off timing-wise sometimes. Could be.
I think there's a lot of truth to that.
Yeah. And John, the 0-2 pitches that are in the strike zone, like those two issues.
Yeah.
Look, he's not Mariano Rivera. He's a great pitcher, but he's not Rivera. And so
no one is. But this guy, I mean, he is scary in the ninth inning. I mean, if he's throwing at 102, 103, yeah. I mean, how do you get around on
But that? I agree with where you started with your Phillies commentary, Ray. To me, it's going to come down to the bats.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's going to come down to the bats. Because I think the pitching is going to be pretty darn good. You know, it's going to be pretty darn good. But are the Stotts, the Marshes, Trey, who stunk last year in October, Bader, who's been incredible, but you don't know if it continues. Like, do those guys, enough of them come through? That's the key.
I really do think that's where it begins. And listen, the Phillies are a different kind of team in that this is their moment. Their moment is now. Yeah. This is not a young team that you're saying, well, we could come back and do it multiple years. No. If they're going to do it, they have to do it now. But I do think they have the personnel to do it.
The Diddy, Ray Dittinger, every Monday with us. We love his reaction on the Eagles and obviously a Phil's preview. Ray, have a great week, my man. We'll talk to you next week.
Look forward to it.
And I'm expecting you Saturday, Citizens Bank Park, rally towel in your hands, going freaking wild. All right? I need the Diddy to rev it up for Red October.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.